parents gave me a little black and white book. It was not a real kind of Bible, you know, it was just about 10 pages. And there, I paged through it. And that was the very first time the Holy Spirit spoke to me, in retrospect. And you know what it was? Can we have the next picture, please? Is it on there? I must show you that picture because that's what... I hope this is not the end of my sermon, that I really have to rely on my memory. Okay. Anyway, the picture was that of Jesus among sheep. That's it. That was the picture. And below was written, I am the Good Shepherd. 10 years later, I met the Good Shepherd. But he already knew then that he would be my shepherd for the rest of my life. How did I meet him? It was a school meeting, and a guy came and I gave my heart to the Lord that day. But you know what he didn't tell me that day was the next. He just invited me to become a child of God, but he didn't tell me that the road I will have to... Can we have the next one, please? The road was going to be difficult. Nobody tells you that. The day when you give your life to Jesus. Did anybody tell you that when you gave your life to Jesus? No, they don't. I think it's a good thing. So today I want to make a separation between three things. We often confuse the road with the journey. So I want to leave that with you. I'm going to just quickly look at three things as we follow the shepherd. The road, the journey, and the destination. And I'm going to start off with the road. Can we have the next one, please? And Jesus, speaking himself, said in Matthew 7:14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I could have called this little message a road less traveled, and I would be spot on. There's not many people on this road, or who stay on the road, end up like my mother-in-law, because it is difficult. Let's make no two things about it. It's sandy. And sometimes you think your 4x4 is not going to make it. And sometimes... Oh, no, I was only my yellow pre-boscar before I do. Okay, next. Next. The first thing I want to leave with you is, if we say a shepherd, where's the shepherd's position in relation to the sheep? Where should he be? In front, isn't it? When Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he says, I'm going to lead, and you are going to follow. And you know, it sounds so basic, but many of the mistakes I've made in my life and many people make is because this order is not followed. And I love this scripture in Psalm 37:23, which says, and actually quoted it prophetically, the steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I want to say a few things about this scripture. You can meditate it for the rest of the year, but what it says is our steps are laid out before us. There's an A plan for each life, which God is laying out. And if we come to the point where we realize what it is, God is very happy. When it says God delights, you know what delight is? You're exceedingly happy if we realize what the steps are. And then he knows that we are weak. How many times have I been on my knees in my life, financially, emotionally, spiritually? I haven't always been standing like this. You know what? He never, ever, ever let go of my hand. And if I can just leave that with you today, he is not going to leave you. And I want to just connect this to the next scripture. The next scripture is in Hebrews 13:5b. And I like to connect scriptures to people. And I always connect the next scripture to Dani Kraino, the missionary in Thailand. Whenever you ask him, what is your favorite scripture? Can we have the next one, please? Sukkel julle 'n bietjie met die dinges? No, sorry. You did give the next scripture. I expected something else. Sorry, it's my mistake. Okay. But you know, just go back to the previous one. Yes. And then the next one. Okay. No, I mean forward, please. Next one. Yeah. You know, I believe he told people I read the Bible once a year from A to Z. It's not completely true. I try to do that, but sometimes it takes a year and a half. But I'm at the moment busy with the Israelites again. I love reading about them, and I just want to show you something. Goshen, there at the top left hand in yellow, is where they stayed in Egypt. And then God took them over the Red Sea that you see there, with the green, and then you see where Jerusalem is. You know what? It's a 4-day walk along the beach from Goshen to Jerusalem. But God didn't take them that way. What way did he take them? He took them down, 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 down. You see where the green goes to the very tip of the peninsula, the Egyptian desert. Then up, 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 up the green, and then a few detours, which took 40 years. And then up, up, up there to the Jordan, and they crossed the Jordan near Jerusalem. And only two people crossed it, only Joshua and Caleb. All the others died in the desert. Why I'm showing you this is, why would God do that? Why didn't he let them go the nice 4-day route with the beach holiday? Why the 40 years? Can I show you the next slide? This is where we struggle, because we ask, why did God do that? You know why he did it? Because he knew their hearts, and he knows our heart. He knows what's good for us. Because it says in Exodus 13:17, then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. That's a short route. Although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. What is our Egypt? It's the world. Somebody said it took God an hour to get them out of Egypt into the desert, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. You know, when we come into the kingdom of God, we carry a lot of the world with us. A lot, depending on even whatever age you come into it. Mindsets, thoughts, things that impressions. And God knows that there were good things in the past of the world as well. Not everything was bad. I can think of some things that were quite nice. I won't tell you what they were. But you know what? God knew, he knows how to lead us, because he's a good shepherd. And he knows when we may just say, oh no, I can't take this anymore, I'm going back. And you know what? Many people do that. There are people who were here with amongst us who are not here anymore. And that may be one of the reasons. And I think this mindset to know that the good shepherd is called the good shepherd because he's good and he knows what is best for us, even if it's the desert road, the long way. Next one. Now, it's not only, oh yes, I can't leave this. You know, after I had this revelation from God, what I'm going to share with you now, I went on the internet and there were sermons pages long about this. I promise you, I first had the revelation before I went to the internet. On their third day through the desert, they were very thirsty. They came to a place called Mara, place of bitter water. They couldn't drink the water. Just across the hill, I looked on the map, it must have been 6 hours away by foot, was Elim, the oasis with the 70 palm trees and the 12 springs. God didn't let them pass Mara. Why did he take them to Mara before Elim? It's in that verse in between, verse 26. He wanted to reveal something of himself to them. You know what he revealed to them at Mara? When the water became sweet, he revealed to them, and he said, he revealed himself to them as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. That's the first place in the Bible. You can go and read it. where God revealed himself as the healer, making the bitter sweet. To be sick is bitter. God said, I will not lay any of the diseases of Egypt on you because I'm God the healer. But he needed Mara to prove that to them. You know what we want? We want a sweet road. We want sweet water. You know what God wants? He wants to make us sweet. There's a difference in emphasis. I hope I'm not treading on toes. My own toes are sticking out. Right. Next. Now, what about Jesus? I love this. You know, just after I had this revelation of Mara and Elam, I was reading, you know, I read the Bible. You know how I read it by now. I read the one-year Bible. So I came to Matthew. And this part in Matthew, Mark 6, is, what I'm quoting now, is immediately after Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, just listen to what happens here. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, and he asked them to go to the other side. And when he had sent them away, he went to pray. And then verse 48, they were struggling in the middle of a terrible storm. The wind was against them. The fourth watch, they saw somebody on the water. And then I highlighted that they didn't recognize him. That's what it was, a ghost. This man, who they've come to know a few hours previously as Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, they didn't recognize. Why not? God has many aspects. They've never got to know him as the God that calms the storm. He wanted to show them that he was also the God that calms the storm, not only the God that can give bread. Did you get the message? He sends us into the desert, and he sends us into the storm, and sometimes we give the enemy the blame, you know. Well, it's God that does it, allows it, because he wants us to get to know him better. He wants us to get to know who he really is. And I honestly believe when he says, seek first the kingdom, follow the shepherd, all things will be added. The all things include the deserts and the storms. Not only the holidays, Pietri, and the nice things. Right, next. Yes, now I want to say, I've finished with the road. We know the road is difficult by now. If you don't know that, then I didn't be able to do my job well. Now we're coming to the journey. Now the journey. You know, the journey is a person. The journey is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in front of us. And he says in Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, did you see there? Every word in the Bible has meaning. Not if you go through the waters. When? For sure, I promise you, you will go through the waters. He says, I will be with you, and the rivers shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This God, who carried my mother-in-law for 85 years, through the storms, through the rivers, through the waters, through the fire. She doesn't even smell of fire. You can go and smell there. There's nothing. She smells of eau de cologne. Ma, wat gebruik ma? Something very nice. Sweet smelling. You know what? I want to tell you a little story now about my own life. Unfortunately, when you have the opportunity to stand here, you can talk about yourself a bit. I was a very keen windsurfer when I was younger. And I went to go in Langebaan from the one side to the other side all the way. And one day, a freak wind came up and I couldn't get back. I was stuck on the other. I tried all day to get that windsurfer back to where we stayed in Langebaan. People and Rihanna watched me through binoculars and they ordered the boat to come and get me. I tell you, that is the most tired I've ever been in my entire life. I just came that night, fell and collapsed on the bed and put my hand under the bed to get my Bible. I'm a very good Christian. Not reading the one-year Bible that night because I was too tired. I said, God, just encourage me a bit. You won't believe. I never do this, and I don't encourage you to do it. Just open the Bible and look for a verse. It's dangerous. But I did it. And you know what word the Lord gave me? He gave me this word. He gave me the word, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Can you believe that? That's one of the most amazing rhema words I've ever had in my life. You know what? That word has been confirmed at 3 occasions in my life by other Christians when I was in a very bad position. So it was definitely from the Lord. Right, the next. I'm so sorry about this, Dominique, because this is actually the scripture I was looking for when you put the next slide. Yeah, this is Dani Kreino's slide in Thailand. And what I show you here is how it's printed in the Amplified. I didn't add any brackets, any italics, or any words. Can I read it to you? It says, I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down, listen there, let you down, or relax my hold on you. That's that hand I told you about in Psalm 37 that's holding you. Assuredly not. You know, Dani Kreino, I was there the evening when he gave his life to the Lord, became a missionary in Thailand, he's been there for 20 years, went over with a sponsorship that today would hardly pay a meal at Ocean Basket. That's the amount of sponsorship they have. They're there for 20 years. They're still there. When I asked him, Dani, what would you have done if that and that and that didn't happen? He said, Juan, there was no plan B. There was only plan A. What is plan A? You will never leave me or forsake me. Because the Lord's steps for Dani was to go to Thailand. The Lord delights in him. With all his shortcomings, he's not perfect. But the Lord delights in him because he put his feet where the Lord wanted him to do. Okay. I hope I encourage you. Next slide. Okay. Now, what is our responsibility in this whole thing? And you know, I love Psalm 37. This is my second quotation from that. And I'm just going to read these few verses, first few verses with you. As Pietri said this morning, trust in the Lord. Be delighted with the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Rest in the Lord and humble yourself before the Lord. All these things have to do with your heart's condition. Our heart's condition. In other words, when there's a sandy patch in the road that we heard about this morning, or the bitter water, or the storm, do we still trust? Do we still know it's the Lord? Do we still rest in Him? Or do we try to sideways, get off the road, or even pass Him on the way? And then humble yourself before the Lord. How do we humble ourselves before Him? We do that by saying, whatever happens, Lord, you're the shepherd. You've allowed this. I may not understand it, but I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. You're holding my hand, and I'm going to trust you. And there's this another amazing scripture that said, I was young and I've become old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or that his children are looking for bread. I can't say that because I was young and I know that is God. He comes through for you time and again. As Retief said, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Right, and you know, while reading through the Old Testament now, and I love the tabernacle, everything that's described in the early books of Moses. But I'll just tell you one thing that I've been doing the last few weeks, which is powerful. You all know about there's a courtyard, and then there's a holy place, and then there's a holy of holies, where the mercy seat is and the guardian angels. Just before there was the veil which was torn when Jesus was crucified. But just in front of that veil, there is the altar of incense. And Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 3, we must be a nice fragrance for Him. And then the Lord showed me, how do we do that nowadays? You lay your life down on that incense altar every day. And you say, Lord, I'm laying down my life And let my life be a beautiful fragrance to you. That's simple, not easier said than done, but I believe it's powerful. Because that opens the veil. Well, the veil is open. That gives you free entry to the mercy seat. Because you can come with confidence to the mercy seat of God. Right. Next. I want to share this with you. Just the difference between the road and the journey. The road may not get easier as you get older, as you get on in life, because there are many things happen in life. You may lose your spouse. You may get illnesses which you didn't have when you were younger, things like that. You know, there are many reasons why the road can get more difficult. But the going, the journey, gets easier. You know why? Because we know the shepherd better. And I love this verse in Proverbs 4:18, which says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." Perfect day is noon. There's no shadows. The sun is right at the top, and there's no shadows. And that is what God is busy doing in our lives. That is what He's doing in our lives. Just to show you my definition of spiritual growth, I'll try to be very short. There should be a clock here today. You know, I want to share this with you. Exactly 15 years ago, I was on my way for a locum in Canada. I had the tickets bought, everything. My medical didn't come back. This was a bit of a funny thing. I was supposed to be a TB expert myself, and my chest x-ray had to be sent to Kenya, where a TB expert had to say I didn't have TB. You know, I was tested, man. It didn't come back in time. I lost my air ticket, and I lost the locum. It took me some time to get over that. I promise you, I couldn't understand. Why did God allow that? The same thing happened at the beginning of this year. I was offered the locum in Doha. I desperately wanted it. And I just opened my emails one morning and I saw the first words, "I am so sorry." And for a simple reason, it was cancelled. Totally out of my control. You know how long it took me to answer that email? 5 minutes. I decided I'm going to answer this email in 5 minutes so that the guy who wrote it to me can see I didn't have time to work this through. I've already worked it through. God said no. Isn't that amazing? And then thinking back, I said, God, I'm really growing spiritually. I'm not the same person I was 15 years ago. I'm not throwing a temper tantrum. I'm not going into a uterus or whatever. Because I know the shepherd said, no, that's not the way for you. I don't want you to go. No questions asked. That's that. And that's amazing to get to that point. Next. You know, what I'm going to show you now is not as spiritual as what I've just told you. But I first want to read this scripture to you. I don't know how many of you know this scripture in Colossians 2:5. It says, Paul says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." I want to concentrate on those words, good order. Can we have the next one? Okay. I don't have scripture for all of what I'm going to say now, but somebody gave this to me and Rihanna at the Bible school many years ago. And he said, in this following the shepherd, there are other people involved in our lives around us. And he said, I'm going to give you this rule of thumb and remember it for the rest of your life. Because this is the order in which priorities should be priorities in your life. The thumb is God, your relationship with Him. The index finger is your husband, wife, and children. The middle finger is your job. The fourth finger is the church. And the fifth finger is your hobbies. Now, I want to say something today which I believe is a revelation from God. We all know what an idol is. An idol is something that comes before God, in the place of God. But I want to tell you something else today. Anything that disturbs godly order is an idol as well. Listen to what I tell you today. If your cycling, which is number 5, the Punky, becomes more important than being in church or spending time with your family or impeding on your work or even your relationship with God and the time you spend with Him is a major idol. And I was there. Honestly. I came to a point in my life where getting the Argus under 3 hours was more important than spending an hour with God in the mornings because I had to cycle. You hear what I'm telling you? This is godly order. And you see that church and the relationship with God are not the same. They're not the same. Church is important, but church is not the same as the shepherd. So there is a danger that church can damage your marriage seriously. Church almost destroyed our relationship with our children because I love church. At one stage, I loved church more than I loved my children. Because we went to church for 6 hours on a Sunday for many years. An hour to get there, 2 hours in church, hour then back, another hour traveling in the evening, 2 hours in church, and, you know, back 6 hours. You hardly had time for a nap in the afternoon. What time was there for the children? On Saturday, I was on my bike, and on Sundays, I was in church. So one day, my dear wife, she's very, very wise. I always say she's not only beautiful, but she's wise as well. She came to me and she said, "We're going to lose the children." And I said, "Why? I'm so religious. Yeah, I'm so religious. I'm so good, you know. I'm in church twice on a Sunday." And she said, and she was right. We decided we can't go like that. So just to get this godly order right. Your work has priority over the church. If you have to be at work on a Sunday like I often had, I couldn't come with the excuse, this and that in the church, I must go. No, I had to go with my ward rounds. I couldn't go to church. So this is just a godly order. And you know, the more I read scripture, the more I realize that God is a God of order and detail. Just go and read the Old Testament, about the tabernacle. You know, the finest detail of how it should be built, the dimensions, what material should be used, how it should be covered when they move. You know, it is amazing. God is a God of order and a God of detail, and He wants that in our house as well. Right, next. Now I'm going to share something with you which for me was a major revelation. It may not be to you. But I love that last scripture, that last verse in Psalm 23, because I loved when it says, "Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life." But you know what the first verse of the psalm says? The Lord is my shepherd. You know what's the godly sequence? We follow the shepherd, and goodness and mercy follow us. You get that godly order. Often, we want the goodness and the mercy, but we're not following the shepherd. You can't earn the goodness and the mercy in any other way. It won't in any other way than following the shepherd. Right. Next one. I thought when I spoke about destination, I'm sure I should have asked you first, all of you thought about heaven. You know, we know so little about heaven. And I'm that getting nearer to the departure hall. And some of you are a few others here as well. Well, we don't know. But you just said, why did God, didn't you say so little about heaven? He didn't say anything. He said more about hell than He said about heaven. So I'm not going to talk about heaven because I don't know nothing about it. The scripture says nothing. And all we know, there is such a place and it's wonderful. But you know what? I'm going to concentrate on this world. And prophetically, Retief gave this scripture earlier in the service. We all know it, Romans 8:28. And we usually stop at the end of verse 28. All things work for the good for those that love God. But just look at the next verse. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Son. You know why all these terrible things happen to us? The desert experiences, the storms, the bitter water. God is changing us to look like His Son. And when eventually comes and we're ready to go, then I'm sure He wants us not to look like we did when we first started on the road, but we all must look more and more like Jesus. Now, you know, saying that, I just know how much work there still has to be done in myself. You know, Michelangelo said, one day he was working on a piece of marble, and somebody said, "What is that?" He said, "It's a horse." The guy said, "No, it's not. It's a block of marble." He says, "Yes, it will be a horse when I chip everything away that doesn't look like a horse." So that is what God is doing with us. He's chipping away all the time to bring this beautiful image out of His Son. I'm going to end off with, can I just ask, by anybody of you who know Oswald Chambers by any means? The Christian writer Rihanna will. He had amazing spiritual insights, this guy, and I just want to stop with something that he wrote. He said the following. He said, "Which are the days that have furthered us most in the knowledge of God? The days of peace, sunshine, prosperity? Never. The days of adversity, the days of strain, the days of sudden surprises, the days when the earthly house of this tabernacle was strained to the last limit. We would never know the treasures of darkness if we were always in the place of placid security." And this treasures of darkness, I know where it comes from, because this verse was given to me prophetically by a person who had a big influence in my life many years ago in a birthday card. It's Isaiah 45:3. Which says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." And you know, coming to think of it, the more and more I read this verse and meditate on it, I think the secret places and the hidden treasures of darkness is the Word of God. It's definitely the Word of God, spending time delving, meditating, reading the Word of God. And then he says, "In spite of all our rush and interest in the work of this world, and in spite of our logic, the implicit sense of God will come and disturb our peace." We like to think of Jesus as the ones who brings peace. He is also a disturber of peace. Can we have the last one? And then I have a question for myself and for you today. Do I welcome the Good Shepherd to lead me in ways that will interrupt my life? Or have I put a do not disturb sign on the door of my life? Thank you. I wanted to do what the thief always does, and say, "Let's close our eyes, ask the worship team to come." And then I want to name three or four things that I think the Holy Spirit might have talked to us about, and ask you to raise your hand. I'm not good at that. Then the Lord told me, and He said, "You know what, by doing that," I don't say you shouldn't do that, "but you actually take over the work of the Spirit of God." I don't know in what area God addressed you this morning. It may be about the goodness of the shepherd, maybe that he should leave, maybe about the desert road, the bitter water, storms. It may be about the fact that He's always there, He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And it may be about this thing that the main purpose of life is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whatever it is, I think I would just want to say, let God be God. And if you have a prayer need in any of those areas this morning, or you just want to come and make things right again with God, you're welcome to come to the front, and we have a group of people who will pray.
I'm just going to do what I usually do. No, I'm just joking. Let's just close our eyes. Then have a moment with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit have already spoken to you. And just ask God, just for what does this practically mean for me? Everything, as Johan said, need not fixing in this right moment. God takes a lifetime to chip the marble off the horse. So have a moment with the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. And but I do want to encourage you afterwards, chat to somebody about it. Tell me, this is, I believe, the area in which God has this morning challenged me. And to agree to a degree, just to be accountable to the Lord, that He will finish that work. But let's just, in a moment of silence, just spend a moment with the Lord. Yeah, I'm just going to pray for us, and before I do that, afterwards, Mian will be here and a couple of us. So if you want to pray or just come and say, this is the area of challenge, please pray with me. Just agree with me in faith to establish it in the Spirit. Please come forward and don't leave without just having that moment of commitment to the Lord. Not to a person, but to the Lord firstly. And then just also sense in my spirit that the Holy Spirit is dropping a couple of words of prophetic words, and especially encouraging words for other people in the church. So if you just see somebody's face in your heart, or you just think of a specific scripture or a vision for someone here today or in the mother's room, please don't go without sharing that. I believe that God speaks through all of us, and it's just somebody that you want to encourage or just bless or make a cup of coffee for. And let's be obedient to that. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father God, for this powerful message this morning. And thank you for exactly what I saw earlier makes sense now. In intercession, I just saw these gold bars that you're going to produce today through your hand. And I also prayed for the eyes to be able to see that it's gold, to notice the reality of the pure gold. And I just pray that all the gold will be taken to heart and it will change lives. We thank you for the importation of godly righteous seed, and that we say in Jesus' name it will yield the harvest, the 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest in our lives and in our congregation. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. We ask a blessing and also your protection over Johan and Rihanna, and we just thank you as he did your work and as he went into the front lines of the battle. Thank you also for your protection and hand over him and his family. In Jesus' name.